Hello and welcome to Savor. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're talking about boudin.
Yes, boudin. Something that we had never heard of.
Until recently, when we were preparing for our trip to New Orleans, we realized that we would be there over the weekend of the Boudin Bourbon and Beer Festival, which is a yearly festival that we went to.
Yeah, and it's huge.
Oh, my goodness. If y'all have never been to a food festival, you know, like with the big tents and then like the many, many, many little booths and everyone serves you a tiny little like amuse-bouche-sized bite. Oh, we counted at some point. There were like at least 75 vendors.
Yeah, I believe it was. So there were two big tent areas, and I think there was 35 in both of the tents. And then there was a dessert area up the stairs. And then there were like all of these bourbon tents. It was huge. And it was held not in the stadium, which is also, I think, called Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which is very confusing and fun for people in Atlanta.
Oh, you know.
But it was held in the space like outside of the stadium.
Right. And it was cold as heck.
Yes.
Rather unexpectedly.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Sudden turn of events. It was kind of drizzly, but it was wonderful, and it was packed. Like, people, the weather didn't turn people away.
Oh, certainly not.
There was a disco pig. We took a picture of it. It was great.
Yeah, first time I've ever seen, which isn't like spider pig, or I mean, I guess it sort of is, because it was hanging from the ceiling. But it's a disco ball in the shape of a pig.
Yeah.
It was glorious.
It really was. It was about my favorite thing of the night.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That and seeing Emeril Lagasse and Guy Fieri.
Yeah, and there is a whole backstory about super producer Dylan's secret love of Guy Fieri. stay tuned post-credits for that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was very exciting because, he was right there. He was right there. It's a charitable event, and it was it was really fun and really good. And we really appreciate the press team over there giving us press passes.
Yes. Oh, so much.
We had a wonderful, wonderful time. And before we get into our question, answer another question, we are not talking about the bakery in San Francisco, which is what most of my search results were at first. I have been to that bakery and it is wonderful, but that's a different topic.
Yes. So.
Yes.
Official question. Boudin.
What is it?
Well, boudin is a family of fresh sausage. Okay, and I'm going to warn y'all right now that, like, talking about sausage is a little bit gross. I laughed out loud at my desk at just the pure, beautiful humor in some of the recipes for it. But, okay, boudin comes in two primary styles, blanc and noir. Both generally use pork as the main ingredient. Noir incorporates pork blood to achieve a darker color and a richer flavor. And today we're largely, because we just got back from Louisiana, talking about Cajun boudin, which differs from European boudin a bit. European sausages of this type use pork fat, where Cajun styles use pork liver. And the Cajun stuff incorporates rice. Rice and sausage. Man, I love a bonus carb. Mm-hmm. Okay, but of course there's other stuff in there too. So, all right. Cajun boudin blanc. You cook your pork, meat, and liver, seasoned either with the Trinity, that's bell peppers, onions, and celery, or maybe just onions and garlic, plus probably herbs and spices like cayenne and parsley. Recipes vary. But yeah, so you grind all that, mix it with Louisiana long grain rice and some fresh green onion tops, and then you can either form it into patties or balls or stuff it into pork casings in order to make links. And of course, in these are modern times, artificial sausage casings are available, but the kind made from the lining of pig intestines really does have like a chew and snap to them that's just impossible to replicate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The patties and balls would be fried. The links are generally steamed or poached and should be served immediately. So that's the blanc. For the noir, same process, but you add in fresh or perhaps reconstituted packaged blood. It's available in both dried and gel forms.
Which, oh my God!
Didn't know before I researched this. I love it.
We learned so much on this show.
The result is a soft, moist, tender sausage, the blanc being a wee bit more crumbly as blood is kind of a binder. According to George Graham of AcadianaTable.com, it should be eaten hot with an ice-cold beer and saltine crackers. Also, one of the things that I laughed out loud at was he also said that the character of boudin is its squeezability. Quote, eating Boudin is akin to squeezing a tube of toothpaste only directly into your waiting mouth. Annie, would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, I would say pretty accurate. Like I said, I had never heard of it or tried it before. And the first thing I remember thinking was that it had a texture unlike any sausage I'd ever had. Oh, and oh, there's rice in here. That was pretty much like the first thought. And it was, very savory. And I think it is definitely the texture thing that separates it from other sausages that I've had.
Yeah. It sounds like it would be like softer and just sort of like, yeah, like spongy a little bit, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, like, I couldn't eat basically anything at this festival because I can't have bell peppers. And so I was mostly very hungry. I did eat a lot of bourbon. Drink responsibly, kids. I imagine it tastes like the South. From all of these descriptions, it just sounds like rich and savory and Southy.
Yeah. Southy. That's a good descriptor.
Not Southy like Bostonian. Anyway.
Yeah, different thing.
I have had blood sausage before and quite enjoy that. But yeah, the rice must set it off. Oh, also, yeah, note that the above description is really just a start. Like, folks make boudin in all kinds of varieties. There's some seafood varieties even I have read.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The name comes from the Anglo-Saxon word meaning simply sausage.
And this word goes way back.
Yeah, an ancient Greek cook by the name of Aphrodite may have been the first to write about boudin. In Homer's The Odyssey, the word was used to describe a stomach stuffed with blood and fat that was then fire roasted.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. The exact etymology is a little bit muddled, but it seems to trace through the vulgar Latin botulinus and the Latin botellus, meaning, sausage, with a root in the syllable baud or bot, meaning a protrusion or swelling.
The English word pudding probably comes from boudin, which for me explains so much. I can't tell you how confused I was the first time I saw that on a menu.
Oh, like black pudding?
Yes.
Yeah.
Black and white pudding.
Oh, sure.
And I'd be like, huh, what is that? Oh, there's blood in there. What? That's essentially what happened.
Yeah, pudding is also, I went on this whole side quest. The exact etymology is a little muddled and might come from the Germanic stem pud, which also means a protrusion or swelling. Language does the wacky, y'all.
It really does.
Yeah.
It really does.
Oh, furthermore, the word boudin is also applied in geology to cylindrical folds formed in rock. I guess they look like sausages when you take them in cross-section.
Huh. I love it. I love it. Well, people do love these things. But
yeah.
What they might not love is the nutrition facts.
I mean, boudin tends to be on the fatty side, but they've got a great punch of protein. I'd say, in general, like, probably don't make sausages of any kind your primary source of protein. But, you know, if you like them, enjoy them when you can.
Mm-hmm.
And side note, if you're looking to make your own and you want to make the noir type, there's been, like, a little bit of misinformation and kerfuffle about the legality of selling animal blood in the United States. But as far as I know, it's not illegal. It's just not very widely available. So, like, check with your local butcher, maybe even your local grocery store if they butcher in-house, or with any Asian or European supermarket in town if you've got any of those.
Yeah. One of our very first requests, like, back when I was so scared to answer listener emails, was for blood. And I remember thinking, like, whoa. But then I realized,
it's more
common than I perhaps am aware of. And also, apparently now you can buy teenage blood online. Interesting times we live in.
What a time to be alive.
Yep. Let's look at some numbers. You can find different types of boudin throughout Europe. In Belgium, France, Germany, Luxembourg, Quebec, Austria, which is these Quebec isn't in Europe.
No.
But I didn't put them in the right order. Anyway, you can find them in Quebec as well, the French Caribbean, Suriname, and of course, Cajun cuisine.
Blood sausage also shows up in Asian cuisines. Taiwan even has a street food made of rice that's cooked with broth and congealed with blood. Sort of like a boudin. Google a pig's blood cake, which I'm sure you don't want to Google at all.
I kind of do.
But it's fried or steamed and then coated with peanut flour and cilantro and served on a stick. I, like, really want to try this now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
For a long time, getting Cajun Boudin outside of Louisiana was pretty difficult. There are entire websites dedicated to keeping an up-to-date list of places where you can find Boudin. More than one article came with the headline of something like, Boudin is worth the road trip. You can get it shipped, but it will cost you.
Yeah, because it's a fresh sausage, it has to be kept refrigerated.
Right. Mm-hmm. It is well-loved in its home state.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a quote from Calvin Trillian's wonderfully named essay, Missing Links, in praise of the Cajun foodstuff that doesn't get around. Quote, I figure that about 80% of the boudin purchased in Louisiana is consumed before the purchaser has left the parking lot, and most of the rest is polished off in the car. In other words, Cajun boudin not only doesn't get outside the state, it usually doesn't even get home.
The boudin capital of the world is Scott, Louisiana, so named because they sell the most of the sausage per year as of 2017, anywhere from 1.5 to 2 million pounds.
2 million pounds.
Per year. They hold a festival in April. Lafayette holds an annual boudin cook-off in October, inviting boudiniers to come and show off.
Doesn't surprise me at all. It's everywhere in Louisiana's Cajun country, from restaurants, butchers, fancy wedding receptions, to gas stations, with a wide array of recipes and methods behind them, depending on the boudinier. As their
boudinier, oh, French.
Oh, French should be the subtitle for every episode we do that has anything with New Orleans, even remotely, tangentially related.
Yeah, y'all, on the cutting room floor, there are so many just bloops of us going like, oh, French. But, yes.
And I took, like, over a decade of French. I just don't use it often enough, so I'm always like, oh, no. Oh, no. These sausages are a popular morning option, and the combo of boudin and cold soda, or a beer, is often called the Cajun breakfast. You can get them grilled in a sandwich in jambalaya called boudinlaya, love it, or formed into balls and fried. In several places, there is a social tradition of butchering a hog and making boudin the Sunday before Mardi Gras. And you can even get T-shirts that say boudette, which is a play on football stuff.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. There we go indeed. Some stuff we tried at the Boudin Bourbon and Beer Festival. Oh, my goodness. My favorite thing was this boudin pho.
Ooh.
And it was a cold night, so that might have played into it. It was just such a comforting thing. There were boudin egg rolls, boudin dumplings, boudin burgers, boudin nachos, boudin bread pudding, boudin pasta. When we went to Chef Isaac Toops, his table, he had told us, because we'd interviewed him the night before, and he had told us that normally we do something fancy, but this year it's just a piece of white bread and boudin in between and a beer. And that's what it was, and it was wonderful.
He was a good dude.
He was awesome. So fun.
Yes.
Because of all of this variety, there are boudin trails, like something like a beer trail or a wine trail. Boudin Trail, and websites dedicated to these trails to sample all the types of boudin Louisiana has to offer. BoudinLeak.com, the brainchild of Robert Carriker, a.k.a. Dr. Boudin, has reviews of over 120 places that serve boudin.
He does hold a doctorate, by the way. It's in history.
Still.
Yeah. There is also a semi-secret dudes-only organization called Boudin for Peace that goes on a day-long boudin trail bus tour once a year and votes on the best boudin and presents the winner with a plaque. Apparently, they psych themselves up on the bus by chanting, boudin, boudin, which I'm sure they sound deeper than that when they say it, but man.
Boudin for peace. Huh. How?
They have T-shirts and everything. It's great.
Oh, my goodness me. There is even a sign in the region that says, Napa Valley has wine, New York has pizza, Wisconsin has cheese, Southwest Louisiana has boudin. So pretty big deal in the region.
Indeed. But how did we get to here?
Good question.
Well, we've got some boudin history. But first, we've got a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So Boudin is one of these fascinating foods that reflects the history of a movement of people so clearly, and in this case, Cajun people and Cajun history.
Mm-hmm.
Historians trace Cajun Boudin back to France and France's Boudin Blanc, which is white Boudin. Boudin Blanc was a sausage composed of a mixture of pork, chicken, and/or veal, milk, cognac, and a handful of spices. This sausage had an almost non-existent shelf life, and it's very, very different than Cajun Boudin. It sounds quite fancy to me.
I mean, it sounds delicious.
Oh, it does. It does. If we follow the French Acadians, which nowadays we call Cajuns, out of Nova Scotia after British expulsion in 1755, down to Louisiana, they had to adapt their cuisine based on what food was available. This meant finding food in the bayou, in the woods, in the prairies. When it comes to hogs, you wanted to use all of the animal.
Mm-hmm.
Any leftover parts and spices stuffed into intestines and called boudin. Because this was before refrigeration and the parts used frequently spoiled very quickly, boudin was consumed
pretty much, yeah, upon being made.
Yes, almost like that quote at the top about how it currently is consumed. Some things remain the same. When German immigrants arrived to Louisiana in the 1720s, they brought with them their sausage-making expertise, and this influenced boudin-making in the region. Towards the end of the 19th century, large-scale commercial rice production started taking off in the state, and rice started showing up in boudin, both for flavor and for filling. We've heard that a lot, that rice makes a dish more filling, and that was a very important thing at the time.
Stretch out your food just a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Other French colonies made boudin as well, like in the French Caribbean territory of Guadeloupe, where there is a long, tedious, bloody communal process, often taking days, that comes along with making boudin. The resulting link, when made with pig's blood, is sometimes called boudin rouge antillais. When made with milk, boudin blanc antillais. Sometimes fish is used as one of the proteins as well. One thing that sets apart this boudin from Cajun boudin is the use of a spice called Grain de Bois d'Inde, seed of wood from India, which you can find all over the Caribbean.
Sometimes called the West Indies in history.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The spices used come from all over the world, Africa, Europe, India, and the Caribbean, and they reflect a history of slavery and the triangular trade, different colonizing powers and violent revolutions. Some were and still are infused with rum.
Huh. I wonder how much, like, interplay there's been back and forth between those two boudin types.
Yeah.
Maybe some of the spice mixes. At any rate, in 2012, the aforementioned city of Scott, Louisiana, was named the boudin capital of the world by the Louisiana legislature. This was a hard-won title. There was controversy. See, starting in the 1980s, the city of Broussard started holding a boudin festival, so they were pretty famous for their boudin. Also, a city in France. Annie, would you do it for me?
Mortagne au Perche.
Thank you. They had already claimed the title Boudin Capital of the World and had a yearly boudin festival. They had had one for decades, at least. Though, of course, their version of the sausage didn't use rice.
Mm-hmm.
Different type. And another city, Jennings, Louisiana, had been dubbed the Boudin Capital of the Universe.
Oh, my goodness.
Representative John Gwynn of Jennings said, "I don't want to rain on your parade, and I know you've got some very good boudin over there, but this has already been done." Boudin capital of the universe. Representative Stephen Ortego, speaking for Scott's case, responded, "This is not about the past. It's about the future. The city of Scott is not asking for the universe. They're asking for the world."
Whew.
I know, right?
This reminds me of, like, those lame arguments about world's best dad, galaxy's best dad, universe's best dad. Which one is the superior mug?
It's hard to say.
It is.
But yes, in the end, the government bequeathed the world title to the city that sold the most boudin per year. As of 2012, that was only 1.3 million pounds.
Well, it's all about the future, though, Lauren.
It is. It, you know, It went to a resolution in the legislature. In the House, it passed 60-18 in favor of Scott. The Senate passed it with only one vote against. And Scott went on to launch its own festival, which involves music, a dance competition, and, of course, a boudin eating contest. Challengers have 5 minutes to do whatever damage they can to a 3-pound plate. It's about 1.4 kilos for our metric friends. The festival is in April, so, you know, if you want to plan a trip.
Oh, yes. Go for it. I want to know about the dancing contest.
I did not check it out, unfortunately.
That is such a great... I live in this area of the Venn diagram of, like, eating too much and loving dancing, but it's not a good space to be when they're both happening at the same time.
In the same event, yeah.
No.
Danger zone.
Mean, you want to do, I guess, your dancing first. It's a whole thing. You've got to strategize.
There's math. There's math involved.
Yeah. There is. I was recently upset at one of our work parties because there's promises of DDR, and what they had was just dance, which, while fun, is not DDR. And
no.
I was ready to show off my DDR skills. Perhaps for the best.
Maybe we'll work on it in the future. If we ever get big, like real big, maybe we can like rent a DDR machine.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I still have the mats, but they're a little wonky.
Oh, yeah. They started wonky. Those mats were never.
Right. You got to move the pad back into the right arrow position.
Yeah.
Some listeners are like, what are they talking about?
Dance Dance Revolution. If the early 2000s didn't happen to you the way that they happened to us, then congratulations.
I know a lot of songs I know through DDR. Like, oh, I heard that on DDR. And people ask me what it is, and I'm like, never you mind. We've come a long ways from Boudin.
We have.
But if anyone's ever been to this festival.
Or any festival.
Yes.
Or if you have a favorite place to get it.
Yeah.
Or if your family has a favorite recipe that you don't mind sharing.
All of that stuff.
Yeah.
Because... It's really interesting to me that it's so localized and so popular.
Yeah.
And you can't really get it outside of that area unless you pay a lot for shipping.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool. Fascinating stuff.
It is. And I'll have to track down or possibly make some without bell pepper.
Yeah.
Which I know isn't quite the same thing. But some recipes that I saw genuinely didn't call for it. I mean, they probably called for like paprika, but anyway, my dietary restrictions aside, we've still got a little bit more for you. But first, we've got one more quick break for a word from our sponsor. And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you. And we're back with
Listener Mail.
Oh, I'm telling you, we have a future in a bad musical. I'm not saying it'd be good, but I think there's something there.
I do, too.
I am dedicating an embarrassing amount of time to a Venom parody song, so.
Venom the symbiote, not Venom, like.
Well, there'll be puns abound, but yes, Venom the comic book character.
Yeah.
So keep an ear out for that. It's going to be a music video as well. Very excited. But in the meantime, Christopher wrote, the stories on your ranch dressing episode about American-style chips and American Doritos reminded me of an experience my wife and I had while traveling in Belgium a few years ago. We went to a restaurant that had three breakfast options listed. An English breakfast with eggs, meat, and toast, a Belgian breakfast with cured ham and fruit, and an American breakfast. The American breakfast was a ham and cheese sandwich. So why do these Belgians think a ham sandwich is traditional American breakfast? Here's our theory. European hotels usually serve a continental breakfast, a collection of rolls, fruits, meats, and cheeses. Europeans usually put these on a plate and eat them separately, but when you show an American bread, meat, and cheese, it's going to look like sandwich makings. So these Belgians must have gotten used to seeing American tourists come down to breakfast in continental Europe, look around, not see any hot food, and make themselves a ham sandwich instead. A side note, the American breakfast was also the only one that came with a waffle. In Belgium, waffles aren't really breakfast food as much as they are snacks and desserts. But I guess too many American tourists showed up for breakfast in Belgium and demanded waffles. Yeah, I spent a lot of time in Belgium, like 8 months. And I have a theory that actually it's probably this hotel thing, because it's so funny to me how, like, when you go out of the country in the United States, you're like, the breakfast is different there. There's cold meats. As if we won't know what to do. But I also think that, like, McDonald's breakfast sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Are generally, like, ham and egg and cheese.
Sure.
And that's a lot of countries do associate American food with, like, McDonald's.
Fast food, sure.
Yeah. So it could be that. And also, yeah, the waffle thing. Waffles are just, like, stands on every corner.
You yeah, it's more like a little snack, right?
Yeah. They're so nice. They're, like, the sugar caramelizes on the outside.
Oh, no.
Yeah. They're very sweet.
That sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Steph wrote, I just finished the Ranch Dude episode, and while excellent, it was also the first episode that actually prompted me to say ew aloud multiple times. I don't blame you. I blame ranch dressing and Hidden Valley / Clorox in particular. Any company that has a food charcoal kitty litter division gives me the shudders. I'm writing to humbly submit a name for the Fireball plus Ranch Chaser combo mentioned by Ben. Like all good jokes, it requires some explanation. 1. A pickle brine chaser is called a pickleback. 2. Cowboys are associated with ranches. 3. A well-known cowboy movie is Brokeback Mountain. Hence, the only possible name for a ranch dressing chaser is a Brokeback.
I think you've got something there. I think people would get it. But just out of the novelty for the name.
Absolutely.
And also just ranch dressing. There's something novel about that. Gross, but.
Gross, but novel.
Gross, but novel, which is a whole, I think, part of our economy.
Oh, sure. And actually, speaking of gross, but novel, I wanted to give a shout out to Like a Lost Balloon over on Instagram for sending us these amazing, terrible Oreos from China, which we ate on a little video that we posted on social media. So if you want to watch us have an experience, they were clearly like spicy because there's like flames on the packaging.
Yeah.
But they followed up with a comment on Instagram. They're spicy chicken flavor.
Oh, really?
Which like really puts together some of the questions I had about why it was happening in my mouth.
I thought it tasted like Doritos, but spicy chicken flavor, that's...
Well, I mean, there was a cheese in there, too, I think. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the cheese was, like, just the cream base.
Lots of questions and not enough answers. I would also like to say before we close out here, thank you to everyone. We have gotten so many emails about ranch and chicken wings.
Yes.
It's been fantastic.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And yes, y'all have been chiming in on social media, too.
Yeah. And I learned, Lauren, there is a Duff's Chicken Wing place in Georgia, and now I'm determined to go.
Yeah, that was the other correction that I had. Someone, I don't have their name in front of me, someone wrote in on Twitter and explained that that it started not in Canada, but in Buffalo,
yes.
Which makes more sense when you think about it, really.
It does, and it's kind of like people talk about the Anchor Bar and Duff's. But there is one in Georgia.
Oh, well, okay. Field trip.
Yes. Awesome. In the meantime, thanks to both of them for writing in. Thanks to everybody for chiming in on social media. If you would like to send us an email, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram @saverpod. You can find us there. Watch that video if you enjoy doing that kind of thing. We hope to hear from you. Thank you, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.
I do want to set up this next bit by saying...
That was a dark and stormy night.
Yes. Dylan has an interesting proclivity to bring up Guy Fieri.
I do.
Yeah. You know a lot about him. Is this correct? Is this a true fact?
A lot of things that you love start... with irony. They mm-hmm. start with an ironic appreciation.
Yes.
Like, oh, like I remember seeing people in trucker hats, you know, years ago and being like, people like, isn't it so silly I'm wearing a trucker hat? And before you know, everyone's wearing a trucker hat.
Right.
Guy Fieri was my trucker hat.
Uh-huh.
And I used to watch Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives and be like, look at this silly dude in his flame shirts and he's on 10 all the time. And he's wearing his sunglasses on the back of his head. And then I realized, like, oh, I really enjoy watching this show. And then I learned more about Guy, and that he's done some nice charitable stuff, and he seems to really love his family. And I was like, I really like this guy.
Yeah.
He actually seems pretty cool to me. And so progressively over the past few years, I've become much more of a Guy fan, to the point that I found out before we went that there was a possibility that Guy was going to be in New Orleans when we were there.
Yeah. And I kind of brought it up jokingly because every year Emeril Lagasse throws this big event that is for charity, and it is the Boudin Bourbon and Beer Festival, and we had gotten press passes. And Guy Fieri was the celebrity chef this year, so I kind of was joking with Dylan, like, well, maybe Guy Fieri will be there. What are you going to do? Yeah, he was there.
Yeah. we were standing, like, about as far away from him as we are from each other right now.
Yeah. It was a huge event. It was at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, their version of the Mercedes, because we also have a Mercedes-Benz Stadium, just to confuse everybody. But yeah, that's where the event was. It wasn't inside it, but it was outside it.
Which was convenient for the dark and stormy night thing that was going on.
It all comes back.
For convenient corporate synergy, it was between the Smoothie King Arena and the Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah, so. We made fun of – well, we joked that the Smoothie King Arena is very appropriate for New Orleans, where there are lots of frozen drink options available for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we saw Emeril Lagasse. We saw Guy Fieri. There was a big disco pig. That was my favorite thing of the whole night.
Yeah, there was a disco ball over because there was music playing as well.
So yes.
There was a disco ball over the stage that was shaped like a pig.
Mm-hmm.
Disco pig.
Yeah.
We have a – there's a picture of it up on our Instagram if you haven't seen it.
How many chefs were there? It felt like there were a million.
70, I think.
It was there was an endless amount of food to try.
There was.
And there were stations for Abita beer, and there were bourbon stations, and then there were a bunch of other stations out kind of on the outskirts of the festival.
Mm-hmm.
It was rainy and cold, but as the night progressed, it got more and more fun, I thought. And by the end of the night, I don't know, we were eating like some kind of frozen drink with cookies on top of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Bourbon. Bourbon and cookies. But it was like a kind of a really thick, hot, chocolatey bourbon thing with cookies on top.
But Annie, you wanted to try as many things. Maximize.
Yeah.
Because you are a maximizer, and mm-hmm. it was great. Do you remember what your favorite thing you had was?
I really enjoyed there was pho that I liked a lot, and that could have been because it was cold.
Sure.
But it was really good. And then there's that risotto that was really good.
Yeah, there was a confit duck liver risotto from the Elysian Bar. I can never say that word.
I think it's Elysian.
Elysian, yeah.
Elysian Fields?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't eat a whole lot because most boudin is made with the Trinity with bell peppers, onions, and celery. I mean, most Creole and Cajun food, just period, is made with that, and I cannot have that bell pepper thing. So, yeah, so I had a lot of bourbon.
Yeah.
And I had, like, 1.5 plates of that risotto.
I didn't know what boudin is. I never heard of it. Oh, one of my favorite things is when so Isaac Toops was there, and we had done our interview with him previously, and we went up. And he like goes in to do a cheers, and you, Lauren, were like, cheers. And he was like, no, take it. It's for you. And he gave you that beer.
He gave me the beer, and I was just like, this is the best.
We all walked away with like 6 drinks between us. Like,
yeah.
We just had reserve drinks after we went and saw Isaac.
Yeah, he was just producing beer.
And koozies.
In koozies.
Yeah.
All pre-koozied. And I will say Guy Fieri seemed – I mean, we didn't actually get to talk to him but because there was a large crowd. But he did seem extremely friendly. He seemed honestly a little bit embarrassed by the amount of attention that was being paid to him, which I found very, very endearing and very human.
He was signing all the chefs that were working with him. He was signing all of their
coats.
Their coats, yeah.
Oh, that made me so happy.